Welcome back to the Everything Bagel podcast. This is Emily.
And this is Shelby.
And today we're going to be talking about the Netflix show Haunting of Hill House.
By Mike Flanagan.
Yes.
The best.
He's the writer.
If you have not watched any of his shows, go watch them.
Guys, they're so good.
They're very chilling, scary.
Spooky.
Spooky. I told my mom, I was like, you have to watch it. And she's like, I can't watch scary things. And I was like, it's not scary. It's not that scary. Because to me, it's not super scary. But yeah. Then rewatching it again,
yeah,
which was like my third or fourth time this time,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this is scary. This is actually really scary. Yeah.
No, it's definitely, I mean, it's a ghost story about ghosts.
Yeah.
And I just love it so much.
It's so good. Because it's so much more than, like, just ghosts, you know? Yeah. Okay. Let's go into some non-spoilers.
Yeah.
Try to convince them to watch it.
We're about to nerd out about this because I'm such a nerd about, like, anything Mike Flanagan.
It's so good.
I'm obsessed.
So this series is based off of the book Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson, which is interesting because there's a character named Shirley.
I forgot that it was based off of a book.
Yeah. I know. I forgot that too. And then I saw that somewhere and I was like, oh yeah. And who's the author? And her name is Shirley Jackson. And there's Shirley, the character.
Yeah.
There's really nothing that I do not like about this show, you guys.
Same.
Like, literally everything.
It's
even the
so
intro.
Well done. Everything about this series is so well done.
Like, the writing, the filming, the casting, the characters, the plot,
yes.
The deeper meaning. Like, we talk about, or it talks about, we, like I wrote it. It talks about a ton of things that are kind of hard to talk about, but it brings them up in a way that is just like interesting and spooky, and I just love it.
Yes.
But even the intro, you know how you'll watch
a
series.
I skip the intro every time.
I do too. I do too. But the first episode, I was like, I'm just gonna watch this, and it's actually so cool. But you know how you'll watch a series and you're like, I hate this intro. I hate the music, and it's the worst. But this one, it's actually a good one.
Speaking of that, because we're watching From right now. So,
I hate that song.
Really?
Yes.
That's so funny because Dallin is obsessed
with
that rendition of Que Sera.
No.
And he wants to listen to it every time, and I'm like, please skip it. And he's like, no, I want to listen to it.
It literally makes my skin crawl. I hate it.
That's good. That's good, though. That kind of is on theme From to make your skin crawl.
I do not.
How
like
far
that.
Did you get into season two of From?
I only watched like one or two episodes.
Can you please finish it? Because
I'll
things
keep
are
watching.
Getting crazy.
Yeah.
And I predicted
but
something.
But that's one that I have to watch without Abe. Because he absolutely hates it.
Okay. Well, then watch it without Abe.
Okay. I'll watch it without him.
But now
I would rather read,
you have
though.
To do. Here's the thing, though. They made it not free anymore.
What?
As of a couple days ago. So we had to sign up for like a free trial.
Why? On Prime?
Yeah.
Can you watch it with ads?
No. You have to be signed up with something. MGM or I don't know.
I don't think I'm going to watch it.
But please.
Maybe I'll come over here and watch it.
Okay. Anyways, that series is so good, but that's really funny you say that because Dallin's obsessed with the intro song.
Mm-hmm. That, ooh, I hate that song. Every time it turns on, I'm like, no, turn it off.
When I was
no, stop.
Boy.
You're done. You're done.
I asked my mother.
Okay, stop. Okay. Okay.
Moving on to Haunting of Hill House. It's
so,
the perfect season to watch this. Watching it in the fall is
the best. Especially in spooky month.
October. I love it.
So,
and I just have to say, sorry, I keep
going.
No,
you're good.
This is the third time I've watched it the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just
it's
as
like
good
you're
as
re-watching
the first
it.
Time.
Every time.
Because there are things that you just notice and appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Oof. Okay. So this series is like your classic haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the best types of stories. Any, well, not any. There probably are some haunted house stories that are terrible. But I just think it's such a good storyline and plot.
Mm-hmm.
So basically there's two, we're going back and forth from two different storylines. There's the Crane family, the mom and dad, and the five kids. And it's them, when they're younger, they go into Hill House. And they're kind of renovating it so that they can sell it and make a bunch of money from it. Mm-hmm. And then we go into the future Crane family and just kind of their life and all of the things mm-hmm. that they're dealing with in the future.
Yeah. And the casting for the younger version of the siblings and the older version of the siblings is so good.
It's so good. They
look so much like...
Well, and even just their acting
younger or older selves, yes,
of the younger ones,
especially like Shirley,
is just like Shirley.
They look exactly the same.
Yeah,
it's freaky.
Well, and like young Nell,
all of them
totally, but looks
especially
like...
Nell and Shirley.
Yeah,
I'd say those are like the top.
Luke
two.
Is kind of hard because he has like the massive glasses. So you can't really tell. But
young
he's
Luke
so
and
cute.
Nelly are so cute.
They're so
oh my
cute.
Gosh.
Like, whoever found
they're
these
adorable.
People, you get a gold star.
Gold star. No, the casting is so good. What else do you have for non-spoilers?
One thing that I love about this series, and I think might bug people, is there's certain shots and moments where the actor is doing a monologue, and it's like... they don't cut it, and it's mm-hmm. just slowly zooming in.
One long take.
And it's, like, just so intense and chilling. But I love
the filming,
those
yes.
parts.
I noticed certain parts this time around where the filming is just so intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of is eerie, the
it's,
way that they
ooh,
film
yeah.
it. And I love it.
Let's see. The one thing that's kind of fun about this is there's a bunch of hidden ghosts throughout the whole series. So if you are a ghost freak, this is your thing.
And this time around, I actually didn't notice any of the hidden ones. The second time we watched it, we were specifically looking for them.
Yeah.
But this time around, I didn't catch them.
I didn't really either, because they're not obvious.
No,
like, it's kind
very
of, you know, when you have been scared from something you read or watched mm-hmm. or whatever, and you wake up in the middle of the night and think you see a ghost,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like that. So it's like, oh, is that a ghost? Is that a dark figure? Like, what is
or
that?
Or is that the mannequin in my room with a wig on it?
I literally got scared walking in looking at that. We need to take a picture of that and post it, because it's freaky. It's like...
it's Padme.
Did you ever watch Beetlejuice?
No, but I really want to.
Well, there's these characters with tiny heads.
Oh, yeah.
And so it looks like that. Like a tiny head with a wig on. But yeah, another thing that we will talk about for each episode is that each kid... is a different stage of grief or like a different coping mechanism.
So there's five kids in the Crane family, and the episodes are organized like they each focus on a different character. So the first one is Steve, the oldest, and then it goes down the siblings,
mm-hmm.
and then it has an episode about dad and mom pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
How many are there? So it goes through the kids.
Mm-hmm. And then...
and then it kind of goes to...
I'm just freaking out.
Are you fine? Are you okay?
We can get into that when we get
okay,
into
it. Okay, we'll get
there's just it. A couple questions before we get into the episodes.
Okay.
Who is your favorite character and who's your least favorite character?
I like Theo because I think her ability is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Her special ability.
Yeah. I like Theo and Nell.
I
love that actress.
She's so, so good at being crazy.
Uh-huh. Fun fact, this is her first acting gig ever.
Yeah. She didn't even have a headshot.
No.
When she, like, auditioned. She just sent a self tape.
Like, that is crazy.
Yeah.
And she
and then she's carried in you.
The show.
Yeah. So the older Nellie is Love from the series You.
Yeah. Her name is Victoria.
Yeah.
Her last name starts Pedretti. With a P. Yeah. Pedretti.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your least favorite?
Shirley and Steve are really annoying.
Yeah.
The older versions.
I would probably agree.
They just both have a stick up their butt.
I know. Did you notice that Steve is also in Game of Thrones?
No. Who is he in Game of Thrones?
I feel like we've talked about this.
I do not remember talking about this.
On the podcast. What? So he, remember that one guy, I don't know who he is to Daenerys, but he is like one of her guards basically, and he switches actors.
Oh yeah.
And it switches to him.
That's right.
And I liked him honestly like better in lover. That. Yeah. Yes.
I was actually kind of sad to see the original guy
get recast. I know. I liked him.
Me too.
But I thought that this guy did a really good job too.
I totally forgot that that's him.
Weird, huh?
Weird.
Who or what is your favorite episode? What'd you say? I guess we could talk about that when we get into the episodes.
Yeah, let's go through the episodes.
Okay.
Because I don't
episode
know.
Episode one.
Okay, episode one is about Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Steven. So Steve's the oldest. He is an author. So
he's basically like this universe's Stephen King.
Oh, interesting.
And which is interesting because his name is Steven.
So Steven was the first person cast in the show.
Oh.
So knew that he was going to be Steve, and they based all of the other casting around that.
Oh.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
That is interesting. I mean, I do like him. Like, no, I do think he does a good job, and it's more so the character that mm-hmm. you don't like.
Yeah, for sure. So I think he did a good job
with the character. Talking about the stages of grief, a lot of people say that he's denial, and I honestly do agree with this because he's in denial that he can't see ghosts and just, like, a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, and the siblings say, like, it's very ironic. They're upset that he wrote the book Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
So he basically wrote a book about their experience living at Hill House, and the siblings are upset because he basically denies everything to mm-hmm. them, to the siblings. He doesn't believe in ghosts, etc. Yeah. But he wrote a book. And so I think he does have a lot of denial. So at mm-hmm. first I was like, he's definitely denial, but I don't know.
But then the more you watch, both Emily and I kind of agreed that he could be the stage bargaining
mm-hmm.
because he's kind of just like, oh, what if this? What if that type of stuff?
And then also he spends time trying to see a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he goes to people who have claimed they've seen a ghost and like wants to see it.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, it's really interesting. Like he denies ever seeing things at Hill House.
Yeah.
But wants to see a ghost now.
Yeah.
So in my head, I don't know. That's very much denial. But Google says that Steve is denial. And that mm-hmm. Shirley's anger and Theo is bargaining.
Yeah.
So.
And I think I do.
Steve, Shirley, and Theo, like, I go back and forth, like, what they same. More so are.
Yeah.
So those three, anyways.
Totally. In this episode, this is the first time that young Nell sees the broken neck lady. Mm-hmm. So kind of right away, we see this scary broken neck lady that haunts.
Bent neck lady.
Oh, bent neck lady. That's right.
Is what that's just what Nell calls her when she's little.
Lady. Yeah. That's right, huh?
Yeah.
So
and that scene where Nell is on the couch and the bent neck lady is hovering above her.
Yeah.
That is one of the first scenes they pitched to producers.
Oh.
So I thought that was cool. Because that is a really like iconic scene
mm-hmm.
in this. And it's freaky. Because that's early so on and freaky. You're just freaked out by it.
So she kind of appears multiple times throughout mm-hmm. the series. We also see the red door for the first time in mm-hmm. this episode, which comes to play.
And they call it the Red Room.
The Red Room. And they can't get into it. There's no key to get into it. Then also what happens in the first episode is older Nell goes back to the house. And what I thought was interesting, I can't remember if the mom would always say, when the lights turn on, that means to come home. Do you remember if she says that?
Mm-mm.
Because when she goes back to the house, the lights turn on.
Yeah, I noticed house. That.
And so I think that's kind of the house the saying, like, time to come home.
Yeah, beckoning them back into the house. That's interesting.
Yeah.
The only other thing I wrote about episode one is just that all the siblings are connected because they all wake up the second that Nell dies.
That's what I was about to say. Ooh, and that part was scary. And especially with Luke where Spooky. He grabs his neck, you know?
Yeah. He's especially connected.
Another part, and I need to show you a picture of this because I don't know if you noticed it, is the Luke's treehouse. Did you notice that the door was red in the treehouse?
No way.
Okay, I have to show you because I took a picture of it. I did not
notice that.
Weird, huh?
That is crazy.
So, like, knowing things.
Such a good little detail. Yeah, the details are just so good. Something I love about the series especially is that it's not just scary to be scary. Mm-hmm. Everything in the show has a reason and an explanation and is connected.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just jump scares for no reason. There's not a lot of jump scares. But I just like a well-done, scary
yeah.
movie this is or
very,
show.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Another thing that happens in the first episode is when Luke steals from Steven and he's super cold, but he's not on drugs, but it's almost like he's having withdrawals.
It definitely appears like he's on drugs. And watching it again, I was like, is he on drugs? Because he looks like he is, but I'm like, I think I remember something that's going on.
But and we'll explain says, that.
It's not what it looks like.
We'll explain that a little later. Yeah. For people that haven't watched this, we'll give you a play-by-play. One of the scariest things, and I guess it happened in this first episode because I wrote it down, is so I guess we do see that she dies in the first episode.
Yeah.
So yeah. I guess I can't explain that why Luke felt cold. We don't really know
how she dies yet, just that she dies.
We know that she dies, yes. And so that's probably why Luke feels cold, is because they're twins, Luke and Nell, and she's dead, and he can't feel that connection anymore.
Yeah.
But then the freaking one of the scariest parts is when Nell, or when Steven sees Nell's ghost at the end of that episode.
And in his apartment?
Yes, in his apartment. And
that part is scary.
It's like technically the first time he's seen a ghost, but it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, episode two.
Okay, episode two is about Shirley, second oldest, and
she is anger.
Yeah.
Or which denial.
I really feel she has a lot of denial in her as well. Like, a lot.
Yeah.
I even put down, is she bargaining? The reason I had her down as possibly being bargaining is because kind of like her dad, she likes to fix things.
Yeah.
So it showed the backstory of how she came to be a, what do you call it?
Mortician.
A mortician. Because at her grandma's funeral, was it her grandma or her mom?
It was at her mom's funeral.
At her mom's funeral, she was so scared to go to the casket and see her. And she went up and saw her and she was like, oh, she looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't look like a scary dead person. Her. Yeah, she said, you fixed her. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of what sparked Shirley's passion for being a mortician, is to fix people and make them look like themselves. And
she's kind of, after that, been almost fascinated with death.
But I thought that was interesting. I'm like, maybe it's a bargaining thing because she's like, if I can fix it, I can fix it. It reminded me a lot of her dad.
Yeah. And then when she's younger, she finds these kittens, which that part was also freaky when they take the photo of them and there's like the mask.
Yeah.
Oof.
And when all the kittens die, and the kittens are obviously representations of the kids. I don't know. That's how I felt.
Because there were five of them, huh?
Yeah. But they all die.
Yeah, freaky. Ooh, I got
But there are some theories. We'll talk about it later. Okay. That maybe the kids are all dead.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So maybe the kittens are the kids.
But that was kind of also another moment where she's trying to fix things, and she just wants to save these kittens because they're like new to life and they don't have their mom. And another thing that kind of shows her fascination with death, and when they have the funeral for the kitten and they're like, oh, do you want to say something? And she's like, well, should I? And so she kind of gets to learn about that a little bit more.
Sorry, going back to like what stage of grief she is, again, the internet says that she's anger, but while watching I put her in for denial or bargaining. I know we talked about why she could be bargaining, but for denial, I wrote that when she found out Nell died, she kept saying, no, you're wrong, you're wrong. Like, she wouldn't accept it. She's like, no, you're wrong. Yes. She's not dead.
Yeah.
And they're like, she's dead. And she kept saying, no, that's wrong. That can't be right.
Yeah.
So that's where I put, oh, she's denial. But they all show different. They all show the stages of grief.
And that's the thing, is it's like they're going through grief themselves and trauma and dealing with all of these things as their adult selves. And so you really do see each stage in them.
Yeah.
So just some things that happened in this episode. Luke goes to rehab because he's an addict to heroin. And I thought it was funny how Nell was like, there's horses here. And I wonder if that has some deeper meaning or if it was just totally random. Another thing that I noticed is whenever the kids would freak out, especially in the middle of the night, it was always the dad that came to them. Always.
Weird, not the mom.
Yeah. And so I always wondered, like, why is she never, like, going to them and comforting them? Or where is she? Yeah. Where is she?
We also meet Mr. and Mrs. Dudley. I don't know if we met them in the first episode, but I wrote, are they dead? Because when I watched this again, I was like, wait, are they dead?
I wrote but they're the not. Same thing. They're not dead. But they kind of seem like they are because they're... like, they'll only go there at certain times, which we understand why they do. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like they're, at least Mrs. Dudley is wearing, like, old-fashioned clothing. Yeah. And her hair is, like, a little bit more of an old-fashioned style. So that's one thing that I do kind of love about this series.
Do you think they did that on purpose?
I think so. And that's what I was going to say.
They're gaslighting us.
Yeah, it makes you question, is this character alive? Are they dead? Yeah. Like, what's real? What's not?
Yeah.
And it kind of just levels up the whole series. Do you have anything else for that episode?
Because
I have one more thing. I just kind of liked this quote. In this episode where the mom was talking to Shirley when they were at the kitten's little funeral that they had, or the one kitten that first died, she said, we're all stories in the end. Whenever we die, people tell our story. And I thought that was interesting and kind of makes you think, well, what would people say? Like, what would my story be? Yeah. Like, how would people tell my story?
Yeah.
Then we get into episode three.
Episode three is about Theo or Theodora. And she, in her adult life, she's a psychologist.
Mm-hmm. And fun fact about this actress is she's married to Mike Flanagan.
Yeah. And she is so good.
She's so good. She's also so pretty, and Mike Flanagan is not pretty.
Yeah, how did? I don't know.
Like, but how?
He pulled her.
Yeah, he did. She kind of seems beautiful. Like she would be a little bit weird in real life, though. Like, she's just one of those actresses that are like... a drama kid.
A little weird.
You know?
No, I love her. And I love her character. Her character has a lot of... I feel like her character is very angry.
Yeah.
A lot of pent-up anger. So I had pinned her as possibly anger. Mm-hmm. But we find out pretty early on that Theo has a special ability that she's had since she was young.
She has this, like, empathic power. Mm-hmm. And it started when she was young, laying in the bed, and there was that hand that she thought was, like, Nellie. Or maybe it was Shirley, I can't remember, that touched her. And then ever since after that, she could feel people's emotions. I never
noticed that. And her mom gifted her the gloves early on and said, your grandma had this same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So basically when Theo touches things or people, she can tell things about it that nobody else would be able to tell. She can kind of read emotions, but also know things
about that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very helpful for her occupation because she's a therapist, and I think specifically for children. And so she'll basically touch them and see how they're feeling, maybe see what's happened. And I'm like, wow,
yeah,
that would be very helpful as a therapist.
And I like her character a lot because she uses her ability to help people.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that in her adult life. Something I wrote in here is there is one moment where she reads Miss Dudley,
mm-hmm.
and I don't remember what happened, but there's kind of a weird altercation, and she comes in and was like, she's scared.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's another moment where you're like, is she dead?
Yeah.
And then there was another moment, do you remember when the mom was like, just this area is cold?
Mm-hmm.
Right here, and Mrs. Dudley was right next to her, and I'm like, well, is it because she's right there and she's dead?
Yeah. I wonder why was it that specific spot? What happened?
I don't know if that was ever...
We never find out if something explained. Specific happened in that spot.
Was that spot right below the staircase, though? Like the spiral staircase?
It could have been.
Because that's
I'm a little bit confused with the layout of the house. Because when you go in, there's that giant staircase.
Mm-hmm.
And then that area with, like, the statue where the cold spots are, isn't that to the right?
I don't know.
See, it kind of confuses me.
Because I wonder... Where's
the staircase? That really confuses me. What area of the house is the staircase
in? I don't think we're supposed to know.
Because it's very unclear.
Yeah. I feel like that's how it's supposed to be. But I wonder...
And is it connected to the red room?
Yes. Yeah, okay. You go up the spiral staircase, go to the red room. Then there's that hallway, and it's the
there's red room. A hallway, and then the red room. Is there anything... Is that the only way to get to the red room is up those stairs?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Because I thought that you could also get to the red room from going upstairs and then passing that long hallway with the windows and then getting to the red room.
I think that's up the spiral staircase, and then you and see then the hallway. Long hallway, and then the red room.
See, that's tripping me up.
Red rum.
But in that moment, why was Miss Dudley scared? I was kind of confused.
Oh, for the cold, with the cold spot?
No, it was a different scene.
With Theo.
Miss Dudley was getting mad at someone, kind of. And Theo was like, she's not, I think she said mad. I need to go back and watch, but she's like, she's not mad, she's scared. And Miss Dudley was kind of taken aback, like, how would you know that?
Well, I mean, could you imagine, like, just a little kid knowing exactly how you're feeling? Yeah. It's probably...
When you're masking it as a different emotion.
Yeah.
But... it's giving Poppy.
Oh.
Because when she...
What?
Because she can sense emotions. Yeah. And specifically... When she touches people, she has more power. True.
It's actually kind of crazy that, like, I know people that can do that in real life. Not necessarily to that degree, but, like, where you're in the same room as them and they can just kind of feel what type of things or are like going
they
on.
They can read,
like,
your energy really
energetically,
well.
Yeah. But one thing before we go on that I want to say about the cold spot is I wonder... If that's where she dies, the mom, and that's why she feels a cold spot. Because we get like...
There's two cold spots.
There are? The one by the little circle couch is the one I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then where's the other one?
I thought there was two in that room. She was like, it's cold right here. And then she walks forward and she's like, and right here.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm remembering wrong, but that's what I remember.
Okay.
And I think maybe it's where... Right... below where Nell dies and then where the mom dies.
Yeah,
that's what I think those two spots were,
probably. Ooh, spooky. I'm keep getting the chills.
I wrote in here, what do you think Theo saw when she touched Nell's dead body? But we find out later, which was crazy to me.
Well, I originally thought that she saw everything, like how she died. Uh-huh. And just death.
Yeah.
Basically. But then we figure out that she saw nothing.
Yeah. And that scared her more than anything else, was just absolute nothingness.
And then after that, for a while, she couldn't feel anything.
Yeah.
And she didn't really have... Is that when her power, you could say, went away?
Yes. So, right... That's what she explains later on in this season, is when she touched Nell's dead body, Mm-hmm. She felt nothing, and that scared her so much because she's like, is this what it is like after death? Mm-hmm. Nothing, just a void. She hated that. And it took, when did she get the power back?
I don't think she ever gets it back.
No, she did.
She doesn't get her power back, but she gets her own emotions back when she is with Shirley's husband.
Yes, with Shirley's husband.
In the closet.
Like, all she had to do was touch him, and it, like, sparked. She could feel things again.
Oh, that part, when she explains that, was so good.
That, yes. That like, monologue and confession scene.
That made me love that actress.
Yeah.
Whew, okay. Episode 4? Or is there anything else for episode 3?
I just put, what is Shirley's husband hiding in the bank account? Which we get answers later, but we just find out that Shirley's husband has a separate bank account, and it seems really sketchy, and you're like, what is he doing? But it's because he was taking Steve's blood money.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't know. Like,
yeah, but he had to do it because Shirley was so bad at running a profitable business.
Giving things for pro bono.
Yeah, so she was just not making money. And he's like, how do you think we stayed open this long?
And Shirley is the only one that didn't take the money from Steve, and she thinks that everybody else didn't take the money too. And then when she finds out that they all did, she got very upset.
Yes. Okay, episode 4 is about Luke, one of the twins.
He is obviously depression.
Yes, definitely.
Which is so, his story is so sad. This episode heavily goes into addiction, mm-hmm. and what that life is like.
Yeah.
And it's honestly really hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets his 90-day chip. So he is sober. He's doing good. One thing that I wrote down is the theme of 7. So he counts to 7. The way he counts it.
Why does he do that?
It's because it's for every family member. And he explains that to Nell when they're younger. Like, me, you, mm-hmm. Cheryl. Which also, I was like, is her name Cheryl or Shirley? But her nickname is Cheryl, and it's Shirley.
Yeah.
So it's the whole family. And that's why he counts to 7. And that's kind of his, like, calming mechanism to, like, help him mm-hmm. calm down.
But I also noticed somebody else counting to 7. Oh, it Nell. Was Nellie. Later.
Mm-hmm.
Because Luke taught her to count to 7.
The mom was dead when she was counting to that, so there really wasn't 7 of them anymore.
Ugh, it's so sad.
But also, I feel like the number 7 is very eerie. You know, like 7, 13. There's just like certain numbers that just kind of make you uncomfortable, and that's one of them.
7's supposed to be lucky, though.
Yeah.
But they're not very lucky.
13, I guess.
When he found out, or when Nell died, so we kind of talked about this, but he just says, I'm so cold, I'm so cold. Mm-hmm. And this is the same night he goes out and tries to find his friend. What's her name again?
I don't remember.
The girl that he meets in the facility, who he kind of becomes friends with. Yeah.
Yeah.
She runs away, and he goes after her. It's the same night that Nell dies, but he's out on the street, so he doesn't know. There's no way to get a hold of him.
Yeah.
And he just starts feeling so cold. And he's clean. He doesn't use, but, like, he just gets the body aches, and he just says his limbs are so stiff. Like, he can barely even move his mouth. He's mm-hmm. freezing cold, and his limbs are so stiff.
And I think he does say, like, I feel like I'm going through withdrawals, but I'm not. Like, I'm clean.
And it's, like, so frustrating, the episode, because Luke is the one, sorry, not Luke, Steve is the one to come back and get him, you know, so that he can break the news to him.
Yeah.
And it's, nobody believes him. He's like, I didn't use.
Yeah.
But he gets.
Poor Luke.
Yeah, he gets jumped, and so he has no shoes, he's bleeding, he just looks.
Terrible.
Terrible. So they Nellie don't believe him Luke that he's sober.
Have the worst of it.
I know,
like, they have
terrible.
The most trauma. But, like I said before, I thought it was crazy that he grabbed his neck.
Yeah.
Like, when they all had that shock when Nell died, he grabbed his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, whoa. Like, that's kind of a mm-hmm. little foreshadow there. And then he sees Nell, and she says, go.
Mm-hmm.
But remember that, because there's something I want to talk about later.
So, right. With so that. Nell tells him to go, and that's when he goes out to try to find the girl.
Mm-hmm.
his friend because he thinks that's what Nell is telling him. But I think that was maybe not what she was telling him to do.
Okay, you have the same idea as me. Well, we can talk about that later. Okay. Another thing that I thought was like a crazy foreshadow is the mom is talking about the ropes at the top of the
railing. Remember this.
And she's like, that's a hazard.
Yeah, she said that's a hazard. And then she's like, I just see bodies swinging up there.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a creepy thing to say.
Yeah. Ooh, I keep getting the chills. I don't like this.
Spooky.
Spooky. So Luke's ghost is this like tall man with a hat.
The hat and a cane.
The big boy hat.
Yeah.
Or whatever they call it. Which, do we ever get answers on what that is? Like, what do you think that represents?
I don't know.
Do you think, because to me, it kind of just represents his burdens and the things that he holds on to.
Yeah.
Because there's that one moment where he's counting to seven and he's walking and it's like following him at the same pace, but like seven paces behind him. And so, I don't know. That's kind of what I imagined is it's just like all of the things that he's hanging on to that he kind of needs to let go.
Yeah. I think that's pretty accurate. But yeah, we don't really get answers as to who that ghost is. But it does seem like it's just somebody who passed on.
Yeah.
And they found his hat in the attic and Luke put it on. And then he came into the room that one night to retrieve his hat. Which I thought was just kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because it's so scary. But then you're like, oh, he just wanted his hat back. Yeah. Like, not a big deal.
Yeah. But I would be terrified.
But that scene was freaking me out when he was under the bed.
Yeah. It's like all but of
he's harmless. The ghost ends up just being harmless.
It's all of the things that you're so scared of as a little kid.
Yes.
They show in this, like, a monster coming under the bed. But he's actually
frustrating, too, because at the beginning of living in Hill House, when Nell and some of the other kids keep waking up to, oh my gosh, I saw this, or this happened, or I heard this.
Yeah.
And the dad is so annoying because, I mean,
he just dismisses all of it. Yes,
he dismisses all of it. He is like, oh, nightmares can be really realistic sometimes.
Yeah.
And they're just like, no, I saw it. And he's like, I know. Like,
but as a parent, that's what I would have
said
too.
Yeah, exactly. So I understand why he said those things, because you're not actually going to believe the things. Those things. If your kid were to tell you those things, you're not going to believe them.
Another thing that happened, I can't remember if it was in Theo or Shirley's episode, was when they were in one of their bedrooms and there was a bunch of pounding on the walls. And that kind of comes back.
That comes back later too, which I thought was really interesting.
I think this is closer to the end of Luke's episode where Stephen tells Nell, or Stephen tells Luke that Nell is dead. And that it was a suicide, but Luke is like, no, like, it wasn't.
Right.
Like, he knows Luke because they have their twin thing.
Yeah. And I think Luke, and you know, Luke and Nell are close. It's like the farther down you go in the siblings, the more acceptance you get from, like, what actually happened in Hill House. So I think he knows immediately that Hill House killed her.
Yeah. Poor Luke. He's like the one that breaks my heart most.
I know. His story is so heartbreaking. That's all I have for Luke's episode. Same. So we go to episode 5, which is Nell.
And she is acceptance. We already know that she died. And they said it's a suicide.
Yeah.
At this point, do we know how, though?
I'm not sure when exactly we find out. I think at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
I think this episode shows her actual death scene.
This is probably my favorite episode because it had the craziest twist at the end. Like, oh, I keep getting chills. One thing I wanted to say about this actress is her nose is so expressive. It's like equivalent to Emilia Clarke, Daenerys in Game of Thrones. Yeah, her like eyebrows.
Her nose is always like flaring, huh?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy that this was her first acting gig because she's so good. I said her therapist is the worst.
Yes, he tells her to go back to the house.
He's just the worst in general. He doesn't believe what she's saying.
Yeah.
Which is, even if you don't believe it as a therapist, like, I don't think that's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah.
His responses are terrible. And it's funny because Theo is a psychologist, and she even says that Nell's therapist is the worst.
Yeah.
She's like, he sucks. And I'm like, yeah, he is. He's literally the worst.
No, he made me so mad. And he was telling her, he's like, I think you just need to go back to the house. It's just, what does he call it? I have it in my notes.
Yeah.
He says,
I think you'll realize once you go back to the house that it's just a house.
It's just a carcass in the woods. That's what he says. Which is so creepy in itself. Like, why?
Yeah. But I mean, obviously in real life.
Yeah.
That would probably be true.
Yeah.
But just him gaslighting her, basically.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on? Because she, I think, was telling him about the things she sees. So she's like, I saw the bent neck lady again. And he basically is just like,
it's your imagination. Well,
she said, you don't believe me. Mm-hmm. And he said, I believe that your brain made you see that.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, shut up.
Which
so annoying.
Is probably true most of the time. Like, our brains are powerful and we can make ourselves see things.
But it just made it more frustrating as the viewers, because we saw this happen when she was younger and her dad told her, like, oh, nightmares can be very realistic. Flash forward to her therapy session and he's like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure it seemed very realistic.
Well, throughout.
But we know that it pretty much was real.
Yeah. Throughout the whole series, she honestly is very neglected. And, like, nobody believes anything that she says and does. And which is so sad because she's the youngest child. And usually that doesn't happen with a youngest child. But with Nell, it did.
You know what I noticed that's so weird? Nell just doesn't have a job or, like, a thing in life that it doesn't show. So Nell and Luke both don't really have jobs, and the rest of the siblings
that's
do.
That's true.
But Luke is going through, like, rehab and stuff, so that he has an excuse as to why he doesn't have a job. But Nell just doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
She just, like, it just shows her sleeping, you know, in her bed at night and then going to, like, therapy sessions, but doing absolutely nothing else. I'm like, what is she? Shouldn't she have any passions
or job? She has emotional...
Can she at least be like a barista or something?
Yeah. But she does marry Arthur, which is her, like, sleep. What would you call him?
He was a.
He's like a sleep analysis.
Technologist is what he calls himself. Yeah. And that scene, you love him. And
they're
you're happy
so
that
cute.
They, like, have this happy ending. But then when he dies.
Who was so sudden. And then she sees the bent neck lady again.
Yeah. So as soon as she meets him, the bent neck lady leaves her alone. And as soon as he dies, like, seconds after he dies, bent neck lady is back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, she just had those few, I don't know how long she was married. It was like a year.
I don't either.
A few months, but just those few months of bliss that she had while she was married. And then it gets taken away from
and
her.
And of course, when everything is going right, everything has to go wrong.
Yeah. And it's so annoying.
But they're... wedding song Heavenly Days, I guess that Mike knew he wanted that song to be the one that she dances to when she goes back to the house, and they kind of made the whole episode around that, like her dancing to that song in the house.
I love that. I read that same thing. I think I read the same article that you did, because you're telling me all the same facts that I read on the internet. But I love that. Good song.
One thing. So, at the end of this episode, we figure out that, and maybe I should wait until later, but I'm going to say it now, I guess. We figure out that she hangs herself, but it's not really her. It's the house, or her mom, you could say. But her mom didn't actually push her. Like, she never physically touched her. Like, she was reaching for her, but never touched her. So she kind of just was pushed.
But I don't know. I think she was emotionally urging her.
Totally.
Like, she was manipulating her to come home, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, but what I was going to say is that it's kind of crazy. All of the times that she sees the bent neck lady throughout her life, I don't know if I'm going to be able to explain this very well, but the first time that Nell sees the bent neck lady, like, when she's younger, is the last time that, like, older Nell as the bent neck lady sees her.
So she goes back in time in reverse, essentially.
Yeah.
Like the most recent time and then all the way back to the first time.
Yeah.
Interesting. That is, so this episode is when she dies and you see her fall through all the times and see her younger self.
Yes.
This is one of the best scenes of the entire series. This is when you're like, oh my gosh. Biggest
plot twist.
She is the bent neck lady.
Yeah.
Like, that is her.
Well, and the one that's so scary where she's over her on the couch and she's saying, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
She's just like so scared for herself.
And it's crazy because as young Nell sees bent neck lady, even older Nell, you are thinking that would be so scary.
Mm-hmm.
But then as after she dies and she is the bent neck lady going back through time, that's haunting her younger self. That's
even more scary.
It's more scary for her because she doesn't
want to control it.
Yeah. She's like, I don't want to give my younger self trauma. Like, how sad to see your younger self just absolutely terrified and knowing that there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
That you can't help her.
Yeah.
And she's just helpless and you did it. Like, you're the one that did that. Oh, it's just like the worst kind of hell.
Yes. You know? Totally.
And so, you know, as a bent neck lady, she's just like screaming and saying no, 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 which makes it even scarier.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize everything was intentional.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy.
One part about that, when she goes back to the house in a flashback, we see that there's Nell drawn on the wall and the mom gets super mad at her and is like, why would you do this? And she's like, I didn't do it. And even Theo is like, she didn't do it. Like, why don't you believe her?
It's so frustrating when the parents don't believe.
I know. And then when she goes back, it says, come home, Nell.
Yeah.
But later on, we figure out that Nell wasn't the one that wrote on the wall. It probably was the mom.
It's probably the mom. Yeah.
Which makes you even more mad that the mom got so mad at Nell for writing on the wall.
When it was her, yeah. The only other note I had on this episode was towards the end, the viewing. That's when things got crazy.
Yeah.
Because this is when the family gets all back together.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes down. I mean, they just have it out. Everything that they've been keeping inside of themselves just comes out at the same time. And it's such a good episode.
For the next episode. I think that's like...
Is that in episode six?
That's in episode six.
Okay, sorry. I forgot to write any notes for episode six and I accidentally wrote that on episode five.
So in episode, what are we on, five?
Mm-hmm.
One thing that starts to kind of happen is the mom starts to get headaches. And you're kind of like, what is this? Why is she getting these terrible headaches? More frequently.
Why did they never bring up that it's probably the black mold in the house giving her headaches?
That was my theory.
That would have been such an easy...
I have a theory.
Yeah.
That the mom is going crazy because she actually just has mold toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she has headaches and is seeing things and is going crazy.
Yeah, that would have been such an easy diagnosis.
I know.
I mean, we know that it was more so just the house.
Yeah.
But still.
Another interesting part is there's that one moment where Nell gets sleep paralysis and she sees Luke. So that's why she decides to call all of her siblings or some of her siblings because she's worried about Luke.
That's right.
She doesn't know what's happening. And then after that, she goes back to the house. The lights turn on and it was so sad because she's like dancing with her husband in the house. But then when you see it from an outsider's perspective, it's just her.
Yeah.
And did you also notice how she was wearing an orange dress? And on the night that the mom died, she was also wearing an orange dress. And I wonder if it was the same dress because when she went back to the house, the mom was like, oh, I laid out something for you to put on. And so Nell puts on the dress.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it was the same orange dress.
Whoa. That's weird.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess it could have been. But that's also weird because the mom died in it.
Yeah.
And then wasn't there blood on it? So who cleaned it and put it back?
I don't know.
In the drawer or whatever.
I don't know. But they both were wearing an orange flowy dress.
Yeah, it's kind of like a nightgown.
Mm-hmm. Weird. But then we get into episode 6, which is the night before the funeral.
Okay, yeah, the viewing.
The viewing. And
that was wild.
The filming for this episode is incredible. They took most of it in one take.
It's crazy. I feel like I want to rewatch the episode just to see the yeah. shots.
Well, there's like the one, I wrote down a couple cool moments. There's the one moment where it like kind of goes around and it's the younger kids on the couch. So they're in this episode, they're in the funeral home, mm-hmm. and then they kind of go back into the Hill House as mm-hmm. well. But there's one moment where it circles around and it's the younger kids, and then it kind of goes around the room a little bit, and then it goes back around, and in the same position that they were in, it's them older.
And this isn't this it flashes back between the Hill House when they're younger and the funeral home viewing when they're older.
Yeah.
And this is the storm, right?
Yeah.
So this is the storm both places.
Yeah.
And when Nell disappears. Which is interesting.
Oh, that's right.
So, and there was some shots where they had to take one take, and they just said it was really difficult.
Yeah, they're at her funeral, and that's the night that she disappears. Oh, yeah. Look at me! Look at my arms!
I just got chills too. Her hairs are standing up. So yeah, I love the parallels. I just think it's so cool. They have this terrible storm, and the lights go out at the Hill House, the lights mm-hmm. go out at the funeral home, and they say that nobody else on the street has their lights go out.
Yeah.
It's just the funeral home.
Oh, that is freaky.
And so all the lights go out, and they're all, it's just like everything comes to a head, and the final straw is just that the lights go out, mm-hmm. and that's when Shirley finds Theo and her husband in the closet, and it doesn't look good, but we find out later that, like, nothing was happening.
Yeah.
It was just Theo trying to get her, like, emotions. Try to feel anything.
Yeah.
So she's, like, just wanted to touch someone. She didn't even know who it was.
Yeah.
She just needed to touch someone to feel emotion.
Reaching out in the yeah. dark. But another part, like, with the filming of the episode that I think is probably one of the coolest parts is it's older Hugh, which is the dad, mm-hmm. in the funeral home. And then he goes down a hallway because he has to go to the bathroom or something. I can't remember. And as he's walking down the hallway, it changes into the yeah. Hill House. Mm-hmm. And then, like, right away, he sees his younger self. And then it goes into, mm-hmm. like, the flashbacks. Also in this episode, we see that the dad is talking to someone that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we later on find out that it's the mom.
Yeah.
One thing that Theo says in this episode that makes me, like, she is bargaining is she says, I'm trying to drink her back to life. Because that's, like, one thing that you do
yeah.
in the bargaining stage is you're, like, trying to do whatever you can to change yeah. the situation.
Yeah.
This episode, like Emily said before, is just everything comes out and it kind of shows all of their different ways of coping.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all so different. You know, like, Theo is just drinking herself to death. Shirley is just trying to
She's trying to make everything perfect and fix everything.
And then Steve just kind of lashes out. And it's... And then Luke is just, like, there trying to, like, make sense of what's happening, what's going on.
I feel like he's one of the only ones that's actually, like, starting his grieving.
Yeah.
In a way.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is just kind of... hasn't really settled
yeah.
in
yeah.
for them yet. But yeah, anything else on episode 6?
I don't remember if this was in this episode, but I just wrote down in my notes that in the flashbacks, the mom starts acting weird. Like, we kind of already started talking about that.
Yeah.
And it's ironic how her name is Liv and she's the first one to die.
Yeah, so her name is Olivia, and they call her Liv.
Liv.
Whoa.
Isn't that weird?
That's trippy.
And then also in this episode, Luke asks the dad, she didn't do this to herself, huh? Neither did mom, did she? And the dad
right.
says it's complicated, mm-hmm. but he basically does say that it was the house
yeah.
for both of them.
And at this point, I feel like Luke and the dad are the only ones accepting, like, Nell didn't kill herself.
Yeah.
It was the house that did this to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't talk about the buttons on her eyes.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
And I wrote this later because you kind of found out more later, but
it's Coraline.
Liv calls Nell Button as a nickname. Whoa. And I was like, what the heck? And then Nell also collects buttons as a little girl. Like, that's her thing. She collects buttons, and her mom calls her Button.
And wasn't that when she was in the hotel room, like, right before she went back to Hill House, when she was counting sevens, was she laying out buttons?
No. Oh. They were, like, sugar packets from the hotel room or something.
They messed up with that one.
I know. They messed up with that one. But... yeah, that happened later, probably in Liv's episode, where she called her Button, and I was like, oh. So who put the buttons on Nell's eyes? It was probably weird. The mom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Ooh, I keep getting the chills. Quit doing that. Another thing, I think we get into this later, but I don't remember if I wrote it down in my notes. So I think it's in Liv's episode where she's supposed to like leave and go visit her sister, and she goes to that hotel. I wonder if she was in the same room that Nell was in before she went back to Hill House as older Nell. It looks like the same room. Oh my gosh,
that's
room.
Right.
And it almost looks like the same room.
Isn't it the same hotel that they go to after they flee?
It's all the same room. Like, they all end up going in the same hotel room. Weird. Okay. Episode 7.
Okay, episode 7. Is this about the dad?
Yes. So this is, like, the funeral, basically, and mm-hmm, the dad's service, episode.
Yeah. The first note I have on here is that his contacts are so bad.
Oh, my gosh.
The blue contacts are the worst. All I can think of
with him is E.T.,
Can we just have his normal eyes, because his contacts are just so fake and terrible looking?
I know. And are they doing that because of the older version of him?
Maybe. Maybe they had to have blue eyes because the older actor has blue eyes.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, nobody would care.
Nobody
would care. It just is more distracting to have the fake contacts. Or it's better to put brown contacts on blue eyes.
I have to adjust.
Than blue contacts on brown eyes. We need a recording studio.
I know. Tell your friends and family about us,
bed
please.
Ain't cutting it. Yeah. Can you guys please make us famous so that we can...
I think I just hit the mic. I'm sorry.
So that we can have a real recording studio.
Please. Okay. So we get into episode 7. And this is when there's the flashbacks of the mold. And I already talked about that theory that Olivia was actually just had mold toxicity. And that's why she went crazy. Another part of her kind of going crazy and the idea that the house is like controlling her is she draws out a blueprint. So there's different rooms in the house that aren't in the official blueprint, but they're in the house. So she's like, I found the older blueprint that has it, but we have to combine them. Mm-hmm. So like her job is basically to draw up a blueprint. And when Hugh goes to see it, it's just like nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, the blueprint makes no sense.
Well, she basically just was drawing the outline of the house, the home.
The forever house.
The forever house.
So, yeah. So, she has a blueprint of the home that they want to build one day.
Yeah.
And it's, like, her dream house. They call it the forever house. So, on the blueprint of the Hill House that she was trying to make, there was just tiny outlines of the blueprint for the forever house over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't remember doing that.
Yeah. But that's kind of, like, the Hill House is controlling her.
Yeah.
Ooh. They start cleaning the mold, and they hear this, like, scratching.
Mm-hmm.
And Hugh thinks it's rats, so he gets rat poisoning, which comes into play later. But then they find a dead body back there, and it's almost like that guy was trying to scratch his way out.
Well, they even said that. So once they actually take that wall down, they find a dead body. The police come investigate, and they're like, this has been a cold case for many, many years, but this person went missing. Like a long, long time ago, and it looks like he bricked himself into the walls of the home.
Mm-hmm.
He had like the tools to lay brick, so he bricked himself into the walls and just died there. And it's just creepy because he's been dead for a long, long time. But yeah. Hugh claims he could hear scratching. And they said it looked like he tried to scratch his way out.
Ooh. Weird. Ooh. Just so many, like, layers to this home and different ghosts. Yeah.
So they keep finding water damage. And it's just terrible after the storm. And it just keeps getting worse. And Hugh thinks that it's the Red Room. Because he's like, there is no other explanation where this water damage could have come from. Because, like, this wasn't here. When we moved, like, we did an inspection and this wasn't here. So there's no way we could have this much.
And then in the last episode, when they're all in the Red Room, it's like so moldy in mold.
Yeah.
Ooh, weird.
Anyways, he thinks that the water damage is coming from the Red Room and he tries to get in. You know, I think Hugh is the only one that never could go into the Red Room. Until, like, the very, very, very end. He didn't have a Red Room. You know how the red room was different for them all?
Yeah.
He didn't have one.
Yeah, that's right. And he couldn't get into it. And he couldn't get in. And he had to ask Olivia to open it for him.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Yeah. Tell us. I have here that when Luke sees Nelly and his mom as a ghost and Steven just tells him it's not real.
Yeah. In the grave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of another moment of denial for Steven. In this episode, we, like, keep going back to the flashbacks. And this is kind of a weird moment also that we see with the mom where she wakes up on top of Hugh and she has a screwdriver to her throat.
Uh-huh.
And later we figure out why, and it's the ghost Poppy, and it's the whole screaming Mimi's scene.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that was her terrible dream because she was like, I was having a terrible dream. That poor mom.
I know.
Like, she's just going through it.
When they're at the funeral home, Theo and the dad see a ghost in Shirley's office.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, like, the first time that two characters see the same ghost at the same time, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because everybody has their own ghost that nobody else sees, so it kind of makes you go crazy thinking nobody else can see this.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the first times that two characters at the same time see a ghost, and now they can't deny it.
Yeah.
Because they know they both saw it. Also, who was that ghost?
I don't know.
Who was that?
It might have just been a random rando haunting them. One part that I'm confused about is in the flashback they say that the dad had a 3-hour dark period during the night that they had to leave, the night that the mom died.
Yeah.
What was that? Was that when he was talking to the Dudleys about Abigail? Like, why did he have a 3-hour dark period? Was that ever explained?
I'm not sure. So he gets the kids, drives them to the hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And then says, I'm going back for your mom.
Yeah.
And this is when the 3-hour period where the police are trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah. And I don't know if it ever explains what happened during that time. Like, why did he have a 3-hour dark period?
When he went back to the house, did he immediately find Liv dead?
I don't remember. Maybe he was like, the ghosts were taunting him and making him wander, and I don't know. But isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That just... Like, looking back at it, I was like, what happened during that time? Why was that in there?
Yeah. Kind of interesting.
That's all I have for that episode.
Same. So, episode 8.
This is when we kind of revisit when Shirley and Theo get that knocking in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Halloween, of course. It's Halloween. Shirley is so mad at Theo and her husband. Her husband goes to take her kids. She's at the home. Did you notice that the little model of the home had mold on it?
Yes.
That broke?
I noticed.
But
that was interesting because that was a replica of Liv's forever home, right?
Oh, is that what it was?
That's
probably what it was, huh?
I'm pretty sure Shirley calls it the forever house.
Yeah.
So it's kind of in memory of their mom because they never got their forever house.
Mm-hmm.
So she has that replica of it and it has mold on the inside.
Yeah.
So I was like, what the heck?
Weird. But the knocking and stuff happens again in Shirley's home and she kind of freaks out and flips out. And then eventually Theo comes in and it just goes crazy. Yeah.
She thinks it's just their kids pranking her.
Yeah.
Doorbell ditching her. But then there's just banging on all the walls of the house.
Yeah.
And this is another moment where her and Theo can't deny what's going on because they're both there.
Mm-hmm. This is also the episode where we find out that Steven got a vasectomy.
Yes. Which I was like, how do you not tell your wife?
I know. That I was so mad at him
for getting married. Who gets married and doesn't tell
exactly
their wife that they can't have kids? Well,
and when you're like actively trying to have children and go to a fertility specialist and, you know, it's like, maybe that's the time that you should tell her and come clean.
Yeah, he was so stupid in that episode.
Yeah.
Like, you idiot.
Also in this episode, it might have been at the end of the last episode, Luke goes to burn down the house. And when he tries to burn it down, it doesn't
light. You're like, great. Because you're excited for this house to finally be done with.
Yes.
And then it doesn't burn. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And this is this episode where we learn that the Red Room was open, or that you can open it, and it was different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no treehouse. Mm-hmm. And this is what Hugh explains to Steve. He said there was no treehouse.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't exist. So the Red Room was a treehouse for Luke. Was it also, what was Nellie's Red Room? I'm confused.
I wrote it down. Let's talk about that on the last episode, because I have all of those written down. But
we learn about the man repairing the clock.
Yes. Yeah. So in this episode, there's actually some really good conversations that happen between the characters. So they're driving back to the house to get Luke. Hugh and Steven drive back first, and Hugh tells the girls, Theo and Shirley, to stay put. But they end up also driving back to the house. And so in the conversation with Hugh and Steven, Hugh is basically saying that house is like an unfinished meal, which is interesting because later on, they describe the Red Room as the stomach of the home, and he kind of describes the house as like a body, like there's bones and skin and all of the things, and the Red Room is the stomach. So he describes it as that it's an unfinished meal for the Crane family, and it wants to take the Crane family back. And then this is also when Hugh tells Steven that he did see a ghost, because in his book, he talks about the man repairing the clock, and he said there was no man repairing the clock. I got that clock checked, and it basically, like, didn't work anymore, and I never had anyone come to fix it after that.
And we also know that Liv saw the man repairing the clock.
Yeah. But did she? Because she kind of just, like, walks past him and doesn't really look at him.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then in this episode, we also get Theo's apology to Shirley. And this part, she keeps getting interrupted because she keeps wanting to tell Shirley what actually happened. And we kind of talked about it, how she was saying, when I touched Nellie, I felt nothing. And that scared me. But before she like does her whole monologue, the scariest jump scare of the whole season. And every time I watch it, I forget about this. They're in the car and dead Nell comes up from the back seat right by their faces and just screams.
Yeah.
The noise that came out of my mouth when I watched it this time was terrible.
That is a good jump scare.
And then my dog had to come comfort me. But so what did I put here? Then so after, when she explains to Shirley that she touched Nell and she felt nothing, she kept feeling nothing after that, and it scared her and she hated it, and she had said it was so much worse than actually feeling things.
Yeah.
And so one of the other quotes that I just kind of wrote down here that I like. She said, "I wonder if this is what death feels like, just darkness and numbness mm-hmm. and alone. And I wonder if that's what she felt and what mom felt," mm-hmm. speaking of Nelly and mom. And then she goes on to say, "What if that's what it is for all of us?" So this kind of brings up mm-hmm. like the topic of what happens after death.
Yeah.
And makes you like think about that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it kind of makes me glad that we have like core values and things that we have been taught. And yeah. it's comforting to know yeah, that we kind of do know.
It would
know.
Be like really scary and sad to believe what Theo
yeah.
believes. That you just I don't believe feel that. Nothing. Yeah, that after you die, there's just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing. Like, that's just a scary, terrible thought mm-hmm. to believe that.
Yeah.
And to have loved ones die and think that they're just in a void.
Yeah.
Which is so scary and sad.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely terrible.
And so
terrible.
That's why that is like Theo's personal hell mm-hmm. after touching Nell and feeling nothing. It's like her worst nightmare, basically.
And that's what she thinks could happen
mm-hmm.
at death. But then, kind of like we explained, she tells Shirley that it was just kind of her way of reaching out in the dark. She didn't even know who was there. And before anything even happened, Shirley's husband stopped Theo from, like, basically letting anything happen. But then it looked really bad once Shirley came into the mm-hmm. closet. What did I have here?
So... Oh, I have a lot of more notes on this one. There's a lot of content. But Liv saw Luke and Nell dead while they were young.
Yes.
So while Liv is still alive, mm-hmm. she has these visions or dreams or whatever you want to call them, and she sees Nell and Luke dead.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm like, that is crazy that she saw them dead.
Yeah,
and that's just so
well,
far
and
in
the
future.
Part where I think this is in the next episode where she is talking to them younger and Nell is like, well, because she's like, I'll save you from any dream, any nightmare that mm-hmm. you have. And Nellie's like, well, what if this happened and this, and it's basically just talking about their real life and how she's mm-hmm. like, what if Luke had a needle up his arm and, you know, stuff yeah. like that. And so it freaks her out.
Yeah.
But keep going.
Another thing I had was just the lack of going to the doctor really bugged me in this episode because, listen, her migraines, she should have gone to the doctor yeah. for that. And then when he sliced his hand open, Hugh.
Oh, yeah.
He needed at least 7 stitches mm-hmm. in that. And it just was like, no, I'm fine. I'll just wrap it up. I'm like, excuse me? You need to go to the
that
ER.
That was an open wound. His hand was practically cut in half.
Yeah, and he didn't go. I mean, I understand that they were really poor. And they probably didn't have health insurance or something because they literally refused to go to a doctor.
Yeah.
But it was so annoying because I'm like, Liv is going crazy. She needs help.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, why don't you just go to my sister's house for a few days?
Yeah.
How about you go to a doctor?
How about you get some...
Why don't you go to the
migraine
ER?
Migraine medication.
Yeah.
Ugh, migraines.
Ugh. Do you want me to keep going or do you want to do your next?
Is this the... same episode still?
Yeah.
You keep going. This one, I think, happened at the end of this episode. I don't remember.
So one of Olivia's dreams or visions or whatever, the woman, and I don't know if this was Poppy or not, but the woman said that her boy bangs on the wall in her dreams. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's interesting, because that's probably why Nell and Shirley, or sorry, Theo and Shirley hear the banging.
Yeah.
I talked about how Liv calls Nell Button. Liv calls the kids kittens. And I wrote that. When I heard that, I was like, no way.
That's
I never
right.
noticed that. But she calls her kids kittens.
Weird.
And I was like,
weird. Whoa. Wait, I think you're into episode 9 now. The mom's episode.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did I jump ahead?
There was one more thing.
Sorry.
I don't know when it happened, but when Luke went back to the house, it lights up red. Ooh. Instead of like orangish yellow when Nell went back. And I was like, what?
I thought it was foreshadowing because he wanted to set it on fire, but I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe.
Or maybe it has to do with the red room.
Ooh, yeah. Anyway, let's keep going with
episode nine. Yeah, I was going into episode 9, which is about Olivia, the mom.
Oh, no, you're good. I just had that one thing. Let's see. What do I have? Oh, we see that Luke is talking to Abigail in this episode.
Yeah. And you just assume Abigail's dead this, like, whole time.
Yeah. She's another character where you're like, is this a ghost or is this real? But I guess she's the Dudley's daughter.
And I'm pretty sure everybody else in the family also believes that Abigail's an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
But she's 100% real. And we learn that at the end.
Uh-huh.
That she's the Dudley's child.
Yeah. Yeah. And she actually wasn't a ghost.
Oh. Yeah, which was really sad because then she dies.
Yeah.
Liv poisons her with rat killer.
Yep.
Oh. Which is the worst. That's
so sad. But going more into this ghost Poppy and her, that ghost, that character just like freaked me out. I did not like her. I hated her.
Yeah.
And it's she's weird definitely that her name, a
bad ghost. I think there are some ghosts that were pretty harmless.
Yeah.
But, like, she is the worst. She was the one that told Liv that you need to wake your children up from their dreams. But I think it was, like, brainwashed because Liv thinks that waking them up means
saving them.
Need to die.
Yeah. Well, and that's what she was trying to get them
all to die.
Poppy was trying to get Liv to kill them so that they could also, like, be in the house forever.
Yeah.
You know? And she called them screaming memes.
You know, you said forever. Do you think Liv's quote-unquote forever house is kind of a parallel to her and the kids like being stuck in this house forever?
Maybe
it's like this hill house ended up being the forever house,
probably,
and she wanted to live forever with her kids in that house, and that's why she's trying to bring them back and get them to die.
Yeah. Ooh. And it's kind of like when she drew the blueprint of the house, you're not sure if it's like their house that they wanted to build or if it was that house, like the outline of the blueprint. So that would make a lot of sense.
Ooh.
We're discovering things, you guys.
Mike Flanagan. Are we right?
Yeah, are you listening?
We also learned that she says we are the key.
Yeah, I wrote that down too. So Nell says, no key to the red room. You found the key, and Olivia says, you want to know a secret? We are the key. Weird. But then this is when we have the whole tea party. So Nell is supposed to be gone with her sister, but she has this like need to be in the house, and the house is basically making her stay. So she goes back to the house.
You're talking about Livia.
Yeah.
You said Nell.
Oh.
So no. Yeah. Liv is supposed to be out of town. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's going to take a break, but then she comes back. Yes.
Liv, not Nell. Excuse me. And then she wakes up. This is when Abigail is having a sleepover with Nellie and Luke. So she wakes those kids up and they're having a tea party, but she puts the rat poisoning in their tea. And Abigail is the first one to drink it and she dies on the spot, which was so sad. And the kids are like, what is happening? What's going on? And then Hugh comes in and he pushes it all away and he's like, what are you doing? I don't know what I would do if Abe like went crazy like that and started basically killing our children. Like, what? Yeah,
what would you do? Oh, that's terrible.
What other notes do you have for this?
Well, we learned that the Red Room is different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We really learned that in this episode. That for Nell, it was a toy room. It was the reading room for Olivia, Theo's dance studio, Steven's game room, Shirley's family room, and Luke's treehouse.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is so cool. And then I wrote, was Liv dead all along?
I don't know.
Because there was that one scene that was really tripping me up. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's when they first get to the Hill House, they are moving in.
Yeah.
And they bring the whole family in, and the kids are so excited. They're like, this house is so cool. Let's go upstairs and see our rooms. And so they run upstairs, and Hugh is like, okay. And he goes to run after them, and he's like, Liv, are you coming? And she just stands at the bottom of the stairs, kind of creepily, and is like, you go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go ahead. I'll be up in a minute.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? What was that? It was so eerie.
And that happens at the end of this episode. And that probably was kind of like a foreshadow to her dying.
Yeah, and just letting everybody else live on.
Yeah, and she says, I'm okay. And then Hugh responds back to her, how could we go on without you? And I was like, heartbroken.
Oh, it's so sad.
Oh. That's all I have
but for I just episode. Thought that part was really weird, and I'm like, what is that supposed to mean? It probably was just a foreshadow,
yeah,
to everybody going on without her, but yeah. I kind of thought it was weird
because that happen in the beginning, like,
because it seemed like she knew something that they didn't.
Yeah, well, she and it was seemed like that the whole time, like she like, was connected she to it in a way, yeah, that they weren't.
Did she know about Hill House before they moved in?
Maybe.
Was she drawn to it for whatever reason?
Yeah.
We should look back. I want to see the blueprint of her forever house and see if it looks like Hill House.
We should.
We'll do some research.
Let's look into it. Okay.
Here, I'm going to see if I can Google it while you talk about this next
point. Now we have the final episode. Final episode. Stephen and Hugh are back in Hill House. They see all of the ghosts. And one of my favorite quotes of this is they talk about fear. So it says, fear is the fear is the relinquishment of logic, the willing relinquishing of reasonable patterns. We yield to it or we fight it, but we cannot meet it halfway. And when I heard that, I was like, whoa, like that's deep. You can't fight it, but you can't meet it halfway. So it's like you have to face it head on, or kind of just push it away until it re-comes up again. And we kind of see that with trauma and a lot of things that this series brings up and talks about, where you kind of just have to face all of these things head on. And also, so this is the episode where they all go back into the Red Room. And they have these visions because Poppy, the ghost, like, touches them and makes them pass out, basically. And they're all kind of rewatching their biggest regret, almost. Like,
That's right.
Steven has his weird vision with his wife, and she basically, like, blows up and she's pregnant, but he can't have kids. So they're all kind of just rewatching some of their mistakes and their regrets, or their ghosts, you could say.
Yeah.
Or another term that I wrote down is their inner demon. And that, honestly, is this probably the scariest part of this whole season or this whole series, because it's not necessarily like the ghosts that you see in this series. It's almost mm-hmm. the thought that we all have, like, our inner darkness inside of us, and we have to deal with that. And so that's like a real subject, because it's like, are ghosts real? Are they not real? But like, we all have these things inside yeah. of us that are darkness that mm-hmm. we do have to deal with. In the Red Room, Luke almost dies from rat poisoning, and that's what the mom saw when he yep. was dead on the floor.
Yeah.
I kind of loved that Nell brought them all back to life. Like, she told all of them, like, hey,
yeah, wake up. She is the one that kind of got them out of the house.
Well, yeah, out of their, like, weird trance visions yeah. that they were getting, and then she helped them get out of the house. And then they all see Nell. So this is the moment where they're all really seeing the same ghost, and it's mm-hmm. Nellie. Mm-hmm. But it's because they all have a connection to her. And she talks about time. So the quote here is, I thought for so long. Well, and before this, she's kind of talking, like, out of order, and it doesn't make sense. Like, confetti and whatever. But the quote is, I thought for so long that time was like a line, that our moments were laid out like dominoes, that they fell into one another, and it went on, and on it went, just days tipping one into the next, in a long line between the beginning and the end. But I was wrong. It's not like that at all. Our moments fall around us like rain or snow or confetti. And this brings mm-hmm. up another topic that's like, what is time? Mm-hmm. You know, is it linear? And kind of we see that throughout the whole series where it's really a non-linear series. You know,
I love that.
And like, what is happening with time? Is it just one thing after the next, or is it more just like confetti?
Yeah, around that's us? So cool because this series, like we've talked about, doesn't go in chronological order. It mm-hmm. jumps back between young and old, and there are some moments, such as the storm, that are really parallel. It's almost like if they had written the timeline out on a piece of paper, and then they just folded the paper in half and stuck some pencils through it. Mm-hmm. It's like those moments that line up on the timeline are just so crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a parallel universe, but it's not. It's the same universe, just different moment time. In time. But mm-hmm. they're also the same moment in time. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's super interesting.
Yeah. No, totally. And then she kind of goes on to say, we have all been in this room so many times and we didn't know it, all of us. And then that's kind of when you figure out that the Red Room was kind of their safe space for all of them.
But it's also the place where they all almost die. So it's kind of interesting because it's a good place and a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hugh basically sacrifices himself and tells all the kids to be like, go, get out of here. And he goes into the Red Room. That's kind of the end of Hugh, right? Is that what happens?
Well, so he, I think, overdoses with his medication. Because he makes a promise to Olivia, like, I will make this promise if you open that room so I can save our children.
Oh, like he just sacrificed himself to save the kids.
Yeah, okay. And that's when Hugh is like, you guys go take Luke to the hospital.
Yeah.
And me and Steven have unfinished business in the house. And they go back in and he's like, what do you mean? Like, what do you want me to see? And he basically shows him that he died. And he's going to be in the house. And then that's when the mom and Nellie and Hugh reunite. But what bugs me about that is, why wouldn't Stephen tell him that their dad did that? Like, they would find out eventually, you know?
Yeah. Hmm. I think I talked about this earlier, but there is a theory out there that the kids never left the Red Room.
What?
Because, you know, you're kind of talking about that it was their safe place.
Yeah.
And it was whatever they needed it to be.
Yeah.
And so when it's flashing forward to them, like, celebrating Luke's 2-year sobriety.
Is there a long window in the back?
I don't think so. I don't know if there's a lot of merit to this theory. It's just a theory.
Uh-huh.
But just, like, what if that was all not real? What if they just never left the Red Room and they're all just, like, dead?
Yeah. Ooh, weird.
But I think if that were real, we would have seen the mom and dad and Nell all there, too.
Yeah.
Weird. Also, I looked up a picture of the Forever blueprint and the Hill House blueprint, and they are not the same.
Oh.
The outlines are pretty different, so I think that our theory is not correct on that one.
There were a couple more quotes in the last episode that I liked. So this is Nellie to Luke. She said, I learned a secret. There is no without. I am not gone. I am scattered into many pieces, sprinkled on your life like new snow. So that kind of shows us, we have like the opposite where Theo is like, maybe after death it's darkness and mm-hmm. numbness and nothing. But then Nell kind of reassures us that it's not that way. And she, our loved ones that have passed on are really all around us like confetti or snow. So I liked that they brought that into it.
Yeah.
And then another thing, kind of talking about forgiveness, another quote, I can't remember who said it, but they said, forgiveness is warm like a tear on a cheek.
Mm.
So there's just like so many topics and quotes in this series that it's kind of so hit home and are very deep.
Yeah.
But remember when I was like, remember when Nell said go? So
yeah.
When Luke is like, older Luke is almost dead, like he's on the brink of death, right? He sees his mom and Abigail and young Nellie having the tea party.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, come sit down. And Nellie keeps saying, go, don't. Don't sit down. Mm. Go.
Go.
And yeah, so she was saying go. I'm wondering if when he saw Nell in the like rehab home,
mm-hmm.
when she had died and she said go, if that's
yeah.
what she was actually meaning.
Ooh, that would make sense.
Do you have any more thoughts? Because I have one more question for you.
Go for it.
What, this is a loaded question. What do you think is the biggest lesson from this series?
Oh, I think, I would say that you have to face your ghosts,
mm-hmm.
or else they're going to haunt you and they're going to bring you to your end. Like, they'll mm-hmm. be your downfall if you don't face them.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I wrote down a couple things. So number one, we need to feel our emotions, basically yeah. facing your ghosts, yeah. like you said. Because if you bottle it up and hold it in, then you're going to explode at some point.
Yeah.
Another one that we kind of see at the end is to be honest. You know, they go to their spouses and yeah. basically tell them what happened. And we didn't really talk about Shirley and how she cheated, but we see that in the end where she tells her husband all about it, and Steven tells his wife, and he like wants to work things out.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, just kind of family oriented, is that family is priority, and you should always check in on mm-hmm. your loved ones, because there were moments where they kind of separated from each other, but they, in the end, we figured out that they were always strongest.
Yeah.
With each other.
They needed each other, for sure.
Yeah.
We need to go back to our favorite or least favorite episode, right? Because we said we'd answer that at the end.
Oh, yeah. I kind of answered it while we were going. I said mine was number 5, the bent neck lady or broken neck lady.
Yes, which is Nell's episode.
Because that twist was crazy. But what's your favorite?
I would say that one, or the episode where we realized that there was no treehouse and that the Red Room was different for everyone. That was such a cool, like, oh yeah. my gosh moment.
Yeah.
So I liked that one.
Those probably were my two favorite, which was the last episode, right? When we figured that out.
I wrote that actually in episode 8, but also 9. So in 8, I kind of remembered, or it kind of gave hints. Mm-hmm. So as a watcher, you can guess that the Red Room was different for everyone.
Yeah.
And then episode 9, they confirm.
Mm. Yeah, that was also, like, watching it for the first time, you're just blown.
Yeah.
When they expose that.
Oh, yes. So good.
So good. I feel like we just rewatched the whole thing again.
Were those all your notes?
Those were all my
guys,
notes.
Guys, this is seriously one of the best series ever.
Yes.
So good.
And
there is The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Yep.
So it's a totally different storyline. It's done by the same, it's another Mike Flanagan series. And then there's also Midnight Massacre.
Yep, Midnight Mass.
Is it called Midnight Mass?
Yeah, but then there's also The Fall of the House of Usher, and that one's terrible. Don't watch that one. I hated that one.
What is that? I don't even...
It's... Do not watch it.
I actually loved Midnight Mass. It was very different than Bly Manor or Hill House.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. It was a very, very slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
So Haunting of Hill House kind of flashes back between, like, present and past. And I think Bly Manor might be similar.
Mm-hmm.
But Midnight Mass is chronological. And you're just, like, trying to figure out what the heck is going to happen the whole time.
I need to watch those two again. But never again will I watch The Fall of the House of Usher.
Okay.
You could watch it.
Is that Mike Flanagan show?
It's a Mike Flanagan. And it has a lot of the same people in it. And it's there are certain things that happen in that I, like, scarred me forever.
Okay, well, I need you to keep watching season 2 of From, because it is so crazy, Shelby. And I can't believe you didn't love it. Because we are obsessing over it. Although, I do agree, like, we don't like the characters. I love Donna. We're obsessed with Donna.
Which one's Donna?
She's, like, the mom of Colony House.
Oh, yeah. I like Donna.
Love Donna.
But, like... I don't even know their names. See, they're not even memorable.
You weren't invested enough.
Like, the first family that came in, I don't like any of them. Like, they bug me, except for the son.
Ethan, yeah. I like the dad. I don't know. The characters grow on you, in my opinion.
The mom, though.
Also, the characters in season 2, like, they killed off some of the characters you don't really like in season 1, so it's better.
Yeah.
But We start to get more answers in season 2.
Okay. Maybe I'll keep watching.
Anyways, that's all for our Hill House episode.
Let us know what you thought. Give us a rating and review.
Send this to a ghost.
Yeah, send this to a ghost.
Send this to Mike Flanagan.
Oh, but if you have ghost stories or just any scary, spooky story that has happened to you or that you know of that we can share on the pod, send it to us, please, because we are going to do some ghost stories this month. I was going to say this week.
Month. next week, we're going to talk about the book The Housemaid.
Yeah, and maybe the second one. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
I didn't like the second one as much.
It's a fast read.
It is. Quick. You could read it in a day.
Yep.
No doubt.
Okay. Well, hopefully you have a spooky day.
EB.pod. Yeah, have a spooky day and a spooky month and a spooky life. But also not. Go tell someone you love them, please.
Let's say bye in a spooky way this time.
Okay.
Ready? Okay.
Bye. That was the same. You always say it like that.
No, I didn't. What did you want me to say? I was trying to be spooky.
That was spooky. Bye. 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 Oh, no.
Cut that out. Keep the first one in. Cut all that out. Okay. All right.